and a stage presence, somehow both sultry and spooky, threatening and seductive. A living embodiment of that wounded dark angel who carjacks the midnight dreams of many a post-pubescent girl will likely be surprised to learn that throughout his short life, 1943 to 1971, he considered himself first and foremost a writer. Of course, it's well known that Morrison composed the lyrics of many, if not the majority, of the Doors' hit songs, lyrics that still prowl the auditory hallways of legions of fans and are included toward, appropriately, the end, my only friend, the end of this retrospective. Only recently, however, have surviving family members disclosed that from an early age, Jim filled journal after journal, dozens of them, with copious expressions of an obviously literary mind, that he professed, in fact, to have become a musician largely by chance. Most of the journal entries collected in this exhaustive, engagingly eccentric volume consist of highly poeticized image clusters and versified vignettes, memories, quote, of a fantasized antiquity, warnings against future defilements, and brief scenes from psychological nature movies that might have scared Smokey the Bear out of his overalls and caused Walt Disney to open an extermination service. These visions are not to be confused with the several real treatments also included here for films that Jim wished either to direct, star in, or both. These last seem influenced by old gunslinger and gangster movies, as do a few of the poems. Energizing each and every page is the compulsive creativity of a kind of castaway on a potentially threatening shore, a lost but determined explorer who both courts danger and seeks to exorcise it, who goes out of his way to pluck the strangest fruits, only to polish them with a cotton cloth of innocence. Simultaneously atavistic and postmodern, these verses are fraught with evocations of our deepest fears, with poisonous vipers and stinging insects, with serial killers and nuclear clouds. Even as we're pulled along expectantly from one lyric-like line to the next, as if passengers on one of Rimbaud's drunken boats, we can almost feel the cobra's tongue flick against our bare neck, sense the maniac's eager eyes peering in our kitchen window. Listen for the air raid alarm. Yes, but there's another side to James Douglas Morrison. He flourished in California in the psychedelic 60s, a period like no other, a time when an entire generation seemed to flirt with its neurological destiny, and without benefit of rocket science, sought to orbit the moon. Morrison wrote that, quote, we had a great visitation of energy, proclaimed that the ancient ones, time, has come again, urged readers to enter again the sweet forest, enter the hot dream. While he deliberately drove down toad squirming back roads of primal terror, ecstasy was often naked in the shotgun seat, spinning jeweled pinwheels, peeling a peach. Poets, the ones who actually matter, have seldom hesitated to play with fire. For Rumi, it was the fire of spiritual longing. For Whitman, the celebratory heart blaze of brotherhood. Rimbaud heated his images over live coals of voluntary madness. Blake could fantasize about an orange tiger burning bright in the forest of the night. The word